You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome
to Theater Geeks Anonymous,
the podcast about Broadway flops, scandals, and new work.
Now, we'll take a break from our usual episodes to bring you this intermission-sode.
Intermission-sode. I just ate a Pop-Tart. Intermission-sode. Okay, that was fun.
Well, on this little intermission sode, we're just gonna do like a really chill, super laid back fall preview.
Yep.
And we're just gonna talk about some of the stuff that looks like it's kind of fun and that we're kind of excited about.
Yeah.
And some things have started previews. Mm-hmm. Some of these things we're mentioning have started previews, and some haven't yet, but they will during the fall season. So that fall means now, which today is the 10th of September through December. That's quote unquote fall for Broadway. There's some shows that will open up in like January, February, March, which is like the winter portion, and we might mention those, but we won't mention those probably in this one. So
I saw I'm sorry, I was looking through the
switch. Go ahead.
I saw a picture on Instagram of the cast of Harmony, which begins previews October 18th at the Ethel Barrymore Theater. Chip Meehan is in that. I have no idea about it at all otherwise, but I saw that picture and I was like, "Oh."
It's the Barry Manilow musical.
Oh.
But I love Chip Zine too. Like I saw
Zine?
I think it's Zine.
Okay.
Zine. Yeah, Chip Zine. Z-I-E-N. Yeah.
I've said Z in my whole life.
I think it's just because I saw him on one of the oh goodness, what is that YouTube show called? Oh, wow. I can't think of it now. I loved it during 2020 and 2021. Stars in the House.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And he was on one of those. Also, he was at the Sondheim. That Sondheim anniversary thing, which is like one of my favorite things from the Rona times. Oh, my goodness. I loved that thing so much. and heard him say it. So that's why I'm pretty sure it's
okay. Time. Listen, I'll believe you. I might not be able to change it, but
but it is it's the Barry Manilow musical.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Go through the list here. Yeah. What did you have to say?
Well, Pearly Victorious is one that I'm also excited about. So it's Leslie Odom Jr.'s return to Broadway.
Oh.
And I saw Kara Young in. It was last season. Oh, Cost of Living.
Okay.
Which was a straight play. This Pearly Victorious is a musical. And the story is from Ozzie Davis and Ruby Dee.
Okay.
And it's Leslie really championed, like when he was asked, like, what did he want to do? Like, this was the show that like he wants to do.
Do we know what it's about?
So, and this is from Playbill. It tells the story of a black preacher's machinations to reclaim his inheritance and win back his church. A black man dreams of being a preacher and works to take control of the church in his small Georgia community, despite the community's difficult relationships with neighboring whites.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And from what I can tell and other things I've read, like he's one of these really charismatic preachers, which Leslie's gonna kill it.
Totally.
He's gonna murder it. Oh my God. Like this is gonna be so good. This is gonna be so good.
Oh, that's great.
And it started previews. It said performances are scheduled to begin the 7th of September. So it did start previews already.
Okay.
And
I see Spamalot is coming back.
Yeah. And that, so like, I never saw it the first time, but I love Michael Urie and he's in this one. And so I'm kind of curious about that one. Also, who else is in that? Do you have that one open?
Christopher Fitzgerald. Awesome. Mm-hmm. James Monroe Englehart. Yep. Leslie Rodriguez Kritzer. Mm-hmm. She's going to kill it.
Yeah,
that's,
she is.
That's going to be brilliant. Mm-hmm. Ethan Slater.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy. He was in Phantom with me.
Oh,
Michael Urie. I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah.
Nick Walker. And that is all that is listed.
That's a, like, I'm excited about this cast. Like, yeah. I truly, truly am. And Leslie's going to be an amazing lady of the lake. Mm-hmm. She is so, so funny.
And so flipping talented.
Yeah, yeah. So this cast seems really fun to me. And like I said, I didn't see the first one, which I tend to get sad about because I do wish I had seen some of those actors. And
totally. Sara Rodriguez, that would have been amazing. Or Sara Ramirez, that would have been amazing. Ramirez.
Yeah, would have been awesome. And I watch her perform, or their performance on YouTube a lot. It's just like so incredible. Their voice is like
the Tony
so incredible.
Awards, where they thank Claritin.
I forgot about that. I forgot
it
about
resonated
that.
Resonated so much with me that it was like, I can't forget this ever. It now lives rent free in my brain for the rest of my life.
Oh yeah, that really. I wish I had seen that one. Mm-hmm. So I might try to catch that one. I'm excited about that show too.
Yeah.
And then.
I was just gonna start listing ones. Did you? Oh, have one?
Yeah. I was gonna talk about Mother Play. This is we're moving away from musicals. It's
is
from
Pulitzer. Mother Play something like The Mother Wound?
I mean, from maybe. The synopsis, kind of a little bit, right? Okay. I mean, it's like I remember once hearing somebody say it's one thing to be around the people who push your buttons, and it's quite another to be around those who installed them.
Brilliant,
isn't it? And this play feels like what happens when you're around the person who installed the buttons.
Okay.
So this is from Pulitzer Prize winner Paula Vogel, who wrote How I Learned to Drive. And she also did Indecent, which was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's bitingly funny and unflinching, honest play about the hold our family has over us and the surprises we find when we unpack the past. The synopsis is, it's 1962, just outside of D.C., and matriarch Phyllis, who is going to be played by Jessica Lange, is supervising her teenage children, Carl and Martha, who are going to be played by Celia Keenan-Bolger and Jim Parsons, as they move into a new apartment. Phyllis has strong ideas about what her children need to do to succeed, and woe be the child who finds their own path. Bolstered by gin and cigarettes, the family endures or survives the changing world around them, blending flares of imaginative theatricality, surreal farce, and deep tenderness. This beautiful roller coaster ride reveals timeless truths of love, family, and forgiveness.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, that one doesn't open until April. Would that still be considered the fall?
No, that's definitely going to be spring, and that's going to be that mad, crazy rush that happens. Right before Tony Awards season.
I mean, and honestly, I think that's the perfect kind of place for this particular show.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I see another one. I think that is also spring, but it's The Outsiders, the musical.
Yeah.
Did you read that book when you were a kid?
Of course I did.
I was obsessed with this book. With it. And for some reason, I felt like I kept reading it over and over again and putting myself into the characters. Like, and I felt like, I don't know. There was something very, it made me feel vulnerable. It made me feel, I don't know. It made me feel. And I think maybe that was the first time a book had ever done that for me, I actually even wrote a letter to the author.
You did?
That was the first time I'd ever done that too. I know. It impacted me very much. Even though, like, this was not the lifestyle I grew up in. Right. There was no fighting. I lived in the Midwest and I'm a good girl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, there was something about it that just was like, it was very impactful for me.
Do you feel like maybe it was sort of like the opening your world, expanding your world, which is what books are meant to do, because you didn't know anybody like this. You didn't know people were having these experiences. And that book felt like when I read it, it's very real and raw and feels like you're like it's an immersive book, right?
Yeah.
And so I wonder if like when you're a kid and you have no understanding that a world like that exists and that people are living in those ways, and then you come into this understanding like, oh my goodness, it really just broadens your world in a really expansive way. And so I wonder if.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very good way of putting it. And most probably so. It's, it is it, because I've not really talked about this as an adult. It is kind of stunting my vocabulary in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Remember that book. I remember the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I'm going to read that book again. I'm going to download that on my Kindle tonight. It's such a, I mean, it's so good. That's that'll be really interesting to see what they do with that musical, because it's a very West Side Story kind of theme.
Right. Right.
Obviously you don't have any women in it. And it's not one group against another. It's like the pitfalls of a gang within the gang.
Right.
And that's good. That, oh, and when he like gets in the fire and like gets super injured and like that, I cried. Like, so much. Anyway. But those previews begin in March, March 16th.
Okay.
There was another one that I saw that I didn't know anything about called Gutenberg the Musical.
Yeah. Why don't you read that synopsis? I know that's right Josh Gad and Andrew Reynolds.
Reynolds, yeah. That looks really good. It starts, let's see here. So synopsis is, it's the story of two best pals named Bud and Doug who put on a show together because they just love each other so damn much. It's art imitating life, imitating art, and it's the funniest thing to come to Broadway since 1448. Which is the year the printing press was invented by Johann Gutenberg, who is the subject of the musical that Bud and Doug write. And that's not important right now. That sounds really funny.
And those two are fun. They're wonderful, those
they
two actors.
They are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet that's really good.
Looks funny.
Yeah. Maybe that's one that I might want to go.
Yeah. Okay, we should make a spreadsheet this year.
That opens soon.
Oh yeah, tell them
the
when
previews
the
for that. A previews for that start on September 15th, so pretty soon here.
Yeah, it's next week.
Or by the time you hear this.
Right, it will have started. Another play that I'm really interested in is Prayer for the French Republic by Joshua Harmon, and that's going to be directed by David Cromer. Prayer for the French Republic, written by Drama Desk Award winner Joshua Harmon and directed by Tony Award winner David Cromer, comes to Broadway following Manhattan Theater Club's twice extended sold-out premiere at New York City Center. MTC commissioned this play, and it was the winner of the 2022 Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Play and Outer Critics Circle Award for Outstanding New Off-Broadway Play. In 1944, a Jewish couple in Paris desperately awaits news of their missing family. More than 70 years later, the couple's great-grandchildren find themselves facing the same question as their ancestors. Are we safe? Following five generations of a French-Jewish family, Prayer for the French Republic is a sweeping look at history, home, and the effects of an ancient hatred. Performances are scheduled to begin December 19th of this year.
Wow, that's heavy, but good.
Yeah. I am really happy to see so many Jewish stories brought to Broadway in these last few years, because there's been a really disgusting uptick of anti-Semitism. And I mean, we talk about this all the time, but we think that the art has a very huge role to play in the creation of empathy in people. And I'm really happy to see that this is coming. And also the terrifying thing is, like, a lot of young people don't actually know anything about the Holocaust. Like, that is, it's terrifying. So we're going back to these stories, and I know some people feel like, why are we going back to the trauma? But also a lot of young people don't know these things happened.
Yeah. Well, Well, and there's the conspiracy theories going around that the Holocaust didn't even exist, right, that has resurfaced and is starting to be believed by the people that are not being taught about it in school. So that is the unfortunate part about that. And hopefully we can shed some light. There's also been just a huge rash of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, that's what I said. Well, yeah.
Bigotry. Yeah, just bigotry in general. But like that, it seems to be focused in such a way that like, yeah, I mean, you did say that.
Yeah. There, I recommend the movie Denial for everyone. It's about a trial I didn't even know happened, but a trial where a woman literally has to prove that the Holocaust happened because this very famous Holocaust denier, yes, very famous Holocaust denier was trying to sue her for defamation because she outed him and said that he is spreading lies. I don't like the word misinformation because they're just lies.
No,
so I just say lies.
Yeah.
And he was spreading lies about what actually happened. So
when
it was not even that long ago. It's totally in our lifetime. Like we were cognizant, aware human beings when this thing happened. I mean, like maybe I want to say maybe I was in college even. I mean, it's very recent. So the movie stars Rachel Weisz. Again, it's called Denial. Okay. I absolutely recommend you all watch it because that just happened. That's in very recent memory. And it's terrifying to think. Like I follow the woman who she plays on Twitter. Right after I found out this happened, her name's Barbara. Right after I saw the movie, I started following her on Twitter, which I don't know if she's still on there because I hardly ever go because of you know who. But she's like brilliant and kind, and she's a professor in Georgia, or at least was the last time I knew. Could have retired by now, I'm not sure. Yeah. But absolutely recommend that movie, and I'm really looking forward to Prayer for the French Republic.
Yeah.
All right. Also off Broadway, there's a play called Prey. It's a co-production with the National Black Theater.
Oh.
The synopsis is a meditation on the necessity and complexity of religion and spirituality for Black American women throughout history. Following the form of a Sunday Baptist church service and embodied by a company of 12 intergenerational Black women and femme performers, Prey seeks to offer joy-filled healing through a dynamic fusion of song, text, and dance.
Cool.
Yeah, that looks really cool.
Like that's going to be performance art almost.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be at Ars Nova. First preview starts on September 23rd. So check that out too. And then you and I threw this out there because I know you love Patrick. His one-man show, All the Devils Are Here, How Shakespeare Invented the Villain. Like, I love Patrick Page. And so
love him.
He's doing a one-man show that he's been doing it for a while, but I think this is its first iteration here in New York.
Okay.
It's written and performed by him, directed by Salmon Godwin. And the synopsis says, Patrick Page has never shied away from exploring his dark side. Now, with this tour de force show, he turns his attention to the twisted motivation and hidden humanity at the heart of Shakespeare's greatest villains. Moving swiftly through the Shakespeare canon, Page illuminates the playwright's ever-evolving conception of evil by delving into more than a dozen of his most wicked creations.
That sounds awesome.
It does. It really does. And that's going to be at DR2, which is the Darryl Roth Theater 2. I think it's on 14th Street. So, That's also off Broadway. That one looks really cool also. Any other ones that you
that
see or you
out?
Yeah.
No, don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's like Yaya's African Braiding.
Yes. We talked about that one in a previous intermission that we're both really excited about that one and definitely want to see it. Oh, How to Dance in Ohio. That's going to be my last offer.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll be my last offering. So How to Dance in Ohio. So I'm going to read where it came from and then the synopsis. Again, all of this stuff's on Playbill, friends. And we're only highlighting the ones that we're excited about. But of course, like, there could be other things coming that are really exciting for you. And so I recommend you go on there. Also, you can watch the Broadway show on YouTube with Tamsin Fadal, and you can also get a fall preview. I love her. She's a great voice for the theater and like women, period.
Yeah.
So I recommend you do that. Okay, so the new musical, How to Dance in Ohio, inspired by Alexandra Shiva's Peabody Award-winning documentary of the same name, will open on Broadway this fall at the Belasco Theater, reprising their roles from the world premiere engagement at Syracuse Stage and the parts of the real-life autistic young adults featured in the HBO documentary. Our cast of 7 autistic actors all making their Broadway debuts. The synopsis, again based on the documentary, is a heart-filled new musical exploring the need to connect and the courage it takes to step out into the world. At a group counseling center in Columbus, Ohio, 7 autistic young adults prepare for a spring formal dance, a rite of passage that breaks open their routines and sets off hilarious and heartbreaking encounters with love, stress, excitement, and independence. How to Dance in Ohio is a story about people standing on the cusp of the next phase of their lives, facing their hopes and fears, ready to make a very big first move and dance. Performances are scheduled to begin November 15th.
Nice.
Yeah.
How to Dance in Ohio. I think I remember seeing this documentary. It sounds familiar enough that I feel like I've seen it.
I haven't. So I'm definitely going to watch it because we have Max. So, but yeah, this one also, I really like the synopsis and it's on my list.
And I love that they have hired autistic actors and they're all doing their debuts. I love that.
Me too. It's really, really sweet. So that's it for us. I mean, you all know Merrily We Roll Along is coming. And I think most of you know Here Lies Love is up. And those two, I'm absolutely going to see Merrily tickets now. And then I'm absolutely going to see Here Lies Love. Also, a lot of friends involved with that production. And what I love about that show is that they have completely changed the way that theater is presented on Broadway. And I am hoping and praying that this will give better opportunities for shows that had a real struggle because they were trying to fit into like the proscenium seating, that old way, the way that we usually do theater shows like K-pop, that like when it was off Broadway, all of my friends who saw it off Broadway were like, it was so incredible. The story was different. It was very immersive. It was just like, they loved it. And then when it went to Broadway, it like completely changed. And that happens to a lot of shows. And they kind of lose the thing that made them so special. And Here Lies Love, they had the money to be like, no, we're going to go in and we're going to do things the way that we need to do them.
Yeah.
And so this show is giving me hope that we can change what Broadway theater looks like and that it doesn't have to be this
one. It doesn't have to fit the mold.
Right.
This is what I hate about it. It's like, it's theater. Theater is meant to be diverse. It's meant to be a mirror on what is actually happening in the world, right? But it has been forever this weird box that we kind of shove things in, and if they don't fit, there's no place for them.
Yeah.
And that goes for the way that people look as well. And it's finally kind of coming to a point where you're like, actually, I want to see someone that looks like me on stage because if I exist, that means it's real life.
Yeah.
So, and go ahead.
I just want to add, like, because for this show, it's not only the ones that are on stage, but like, I know several people behind the scenes who are producers or assistant directors, and they're also Filipino, and they've very much made this show because when the show started, it was super white who was behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And they noticed the room doesn't reflect the culture of the individuals who the story is actually about. Right.
Wow.
And so because of that, they've been trying to make really serious strides to invite new people who haven't been producers before into the rooms and giving them producer credits and teaching them how to do it so they can have, like, this show is theirs. Right. And so
that's awesome.
It's really, it's that piece is like what's really great, but literally they gutted the Broadway theater where they are. It's literally called the Broadway Theater. They gutted it. And instead of it being like this usual proscenium, the bottom is a dance floor with like a thrust or a three-quarter stage.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, like, it's like a dance party on the bottom floor because that's the show. It's like Fat Boy Slim. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
And then the top balcony is like regular seating. So it's like immersive the way it was done downtown and just brought uptown. And that's a piece of it that I, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning, that's really exciting to me because it gives me hope that we can let theater be its authentic self and not push it into like this one type of building, this one type of seating that we've seen so often.
And to be told a story in a different way,
just
to perceive it differently. Because sometimes when you're just watching it, you don't necessarily fully feel a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But to be in that kind of immersive position can kind of open up your eyes and put yourself in the position of someone else, even if you're not anything like that other person.
Right.
So that's cool. Right. Also, one other thing that I wanted to mention too, because this is the one that David Byrne wrote.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of a controversy because all of the music was going to be pre-recorded for the show.
Yeah.
But he, after that criticism, has now hired an entire orchestra for that show. So I think that's really interesting too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I remember that controversy. Also, I was like, the show is already expensive. And
I know.
So,
and the fact is, they were still willing to do it. They hear they hear the criticism. That, I think, that is telling. That's very telling of this entire show.
Right.
They saw that they had a lack of diversity, so they went out and fixed it. They heard criticisms from people about one certain thing, and they went out about fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they are fully willing to not only hold themselves accountable, but to also fix the issues at hand. I think that's great.
Yeah. Well, that was my final, final offering. Yeah. for the fall preview. And of course
we go. Cause I have to go read Outsiders now.
Oh my goodness. And we of course did throw in a couple, spring ones.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll mention them again as it gets closer in a later intermission episode. But thank you all so much for listening to this little intermission.
Thank you.
We hope that you check out these shows that are coming in the fall, and that if you're planning a trip, you know, around Christmas time, that you will try something new.
Yeah. Not just the old.
Yeah.
Now, I love Wicked as much as the next person.
That's right. But let's try something new.
Yes.
So
yes.
On that note, bye friends.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Theater Geeks Anonymous. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at
TGABWay. And on Facebook at Theater Geeks Anonymous.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Theater Geeks Anonymous podcast
on the Broadway Podcast Network and all your favorite podcast listening apps.
Your intermission-sode has now concluded.
Shut up, sit down, and turn off your cell phones. Or we'll tell Patti LuPone.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com. And of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.